the question was asked, how come in certain communities people can get married after very few dates, and in other communities people need many dates? And how come in the time of Chazal we encounter a Mishnah that seems to say that the girls went dancing in the vineyards and that's how they chose the shidduch? How does that work? So we'll begin with a general introduction, and then we'll work into the Mishnah, and we'll try to understand how things work. Historically, there were always people who had problems with shidduchim, right? But the Gemara discusses. We find in the time of the Torah, Miriam couldn't find the shidduch. Miriam was an old lady. She married someone who was 20 some odd years younger than her. She couldn't find the shidduch. Moshe's sister couldn't find the shidduch. She's the daughter of the Gadol Adar, and she can't find the shidduch. We find the daughters of Tzlafchad. They couldn't find the shidduch. So we find even in the Torah people had difficulties with shidduchim. We find it earlier than that. Rachel and Leah, there was discussion who they're going to marry, right? Once Leah marries Yaakov, so there's a question, who's Rachel going to marry? Is she going to end up with Esav? Yaakov, let's go to our parsha. Yitzchak's 37 years old and he's a bachelor. Think about it. He hits 40. That's a pretty old bachelor. At 40 years old, he's looking for a shidduch. Interesting. What's going on? Why is he at 40 before he gets married? Then in next week's parsha, Yaakov is over 60 when he gets his shidduch. And he has to travel. No shidduchim are good around town. He has to travel. Esav marries one girl and his parents don't approve. He marries another girl. We see shidduchim is a complicated thing throughout the Torah. And then when you go beyond the Torah, so we encounter again that shidduchim was complicated in Shoftim, when you read the book of Shoftim. And then time and again we find that it was complicated. Our parsha is all about shidduchim, right? Eliezer, how he finds a wife for Yitzchak. Things are complex. Once upon a time, some of the complexity that we have today did not exist. Up until about 200 years ago, up until the time of the Maskilim, things were pretty much defined. The way people lived was the way their parents lived, which was the way their parents lived, which was the way their parents lived. Everything was pretty much the same. People knew what to expect out of life, and people's roles in life were pretty self-evident. People knew how people lived. A husband knew what his job was. He had to bring the parnasa. A wife knew what her job was. She had to take care of things in the house and help with certain things that were her responsibility. The husband also had a role in the house, taking care of children. The division of tasks was very defined. So that didn't have to be discussed. What was left to discover? Do we match? Now, even in matching, people's expectations of marriage were different than people's expectations today. In many ways, our expectations today are unfair, are incorrect. People think, I always have to be happy that I'm married. Why should I stay married if I'm unhappy? We're the first generation that has this concept. And it's not a correct concept. The purpose of marriage, let's build something. Happiness is one of those things that if you try to get it, you won't get it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the kid who's trying to see the back of his head in the mirror. So he keeps turning around quickly to see if he could catch to see the back of his head. Every time he turns around, he doesn't see the back of his head. He stands there and he figures, how fast can I turn around? Maybe I'll see it. Right? That's what happiness is. Trying to catch happiness is the same thing. It's trying to see the back of your head when you're looking at a mirror. How fast can I turn around and see it? Happiness is something that comes as a byproduct of other things. Happiness is not something that you can focus on, let me be happy. It's one of the things that it's like having a conversation on a date. When you sit down face to face in a hotel lobby and you decide, now let's talk, you have nothing to talk about. So the best way to ensure you'll have nothing to talk about, just sit down and say, let's talk. It's like when I start a question and answer session. I say, guys, let's ask some questions. Suddenly no one has any questions. All week long everyone has questions. There are certain things that when you focus on them, you don't have them. Happiness is one of those things. So when a person says, I can't remain married because I'm unhappy, yeah, well, stop focusing on trying to be happy. Start focusing on what you're supposed to do in a marriage. Build a home, build a family, invest in the home, invest in the family, invest in the relationship, happiness will evolve. It's a byproduct. People are happiest when they're not trying to be happy, when they're doing other things, when they're helping people, when they're being successful in their lives, then people are happy. So, once upon a time, things weren't as complex as today. When you dated, you didn't have to discuss, are you going to learn half a day? Are you going to learn a whole day? Are you going to learn 2 years, 10 years? Do you believe that a husband has to be home to put the kids to bed? Do you believe that a husband has to help his wife with X, Y, or Z? Today, I see with the questions we get here, people have no concept of what a home is supposed to look like. Like one guy once asked me, in Judaism, if the wife gets upset at the husband, is it customary that he has to leave the bedroom, that he gets kicked out? So no, there's no such concept. We live in the home together, and even if we get upset, we work things out together. There's no such concept. So the guy said, I don't know, on TV, whenever the wife's upset at the husband, so he's kicked out. No, that doesn't work that way. But people have no concepts. Our concepts of life come from TV. Now, Baruch Hashem, I haven't seen TV in many, many, many years. But once upon a time, way back in history, I did see, and I have to tell you, if that's where a person's getting his concept of a home from, then that's not a home. I mean, in my time, they started something, I think, called My Two Dads, something like that. Today the TVs have color? Okay. So, TV is their box, the big black box. It's a box that people sit and stare at, and they see all kinds of... not the washing machine. So, nowadays, things are more complex. If we go on a date today, so we have to discuss everything from square one. Nothing is a given. And I touched on one aspect, but there are many, many aspects that are not a given. Now, once upon a time, half the things we discuss today were given because everyone did the same thing. There wasn't the question of are you going to work or are you not going to work. There wasn't the question of what are my responsibilities, what are your responsibilities. Everyone lived the same. There wasn't that much to discuss. So what was left to see? Are we compatible? Do we match? And even in that, there was much less that had to be discussed because you know what? People didn't enter marriage thinking, am I going to love this person and be happy to be married to them? The Gemara says, don't marry a woman before meeting her because maybe there's something that will disgust you in the woman. But if there's nothing that disgusts you about her, then bottom line, you live together, you'll make it work. Now, in Chazal's time, there were happier marriages and miserable marriages. The Gemara tells us about Amoraim who had miserable marriages. We have some who divorced their wives. That happened too. It was a rarity, but even that happened. And then we have some who lived lives that were... not necessarily. Rabbi Chiya had a wife who did everything to make his marriage miserable. At one point, she even took a potion to ensure she couldn't have more kids from him. He didn't divorce her. She did everything possible to hurt him. He didn't divorce her. When he was learning with his son, Motzeani Mal Mimavet Et Aisha, he was teaching his son the verse, you know, I found a woman to be more bitter than death. He told him, like your mom. That's what he said. I mean, they were on level. They were learning. Rav Chiya, you're talking about he was on level that he could have been instead of Rebbe. Meaning the Gemara discusses, why wasn't he the one who headed the Jewish people? Gemara says, because he was an exceptional Rebbe. He was exceptional at teaching the children. And that's why they didn't take him from that job. That job was so important to teach children Torah. And he was so good at it that they left him with that job and they gave and he didn't take the position of being Nasi. Umutzani mal mimavet koheles. So that's why in their time there was much less that had to be checked out. In our time, so if you live in a Hasidic community where again a lot of life is defined for you already, there's much less that has to be discussed. So then there's much less that has to be discovered on a date. And if our expectations for married life are different, then there's even less that has to be discussed on a date. even in the Hasidic crowd today, the world is evolving. You have in the Hasidic crowd people who have their internet in their jacket pocket. I know because some of our listeners are like that. We have listeners who have iPods and listen to shiurim and have long payas and wear bekishes, and on the outside they're Hasidish and on the inside they're Hasidish, but at the same time they have kosher internet at home and they're following shiurim from Machon Meir. We have that too. So I know my shiurim. I don't know. No, not only my shiurim, other people's shiurim as well. Yes. The world is not what it once was. And even in the Hasidish crowd, there might be a need to rethink how things are working, but I'm not the one that has to rethink that. That's other people's job. But at least what has been until now is that a lot of life was already defined for you. There was much less that had to be decided, and the expectations for married life were different. It is understood that we are partners and we are building a home together, and our expectations from the marriage are very different than a Western concept of marriage. Welcome to the Dati Lumi world. And here we are very westernized. Some of us have televisions and some don't. But all of us are very influenced by the Western world and we're very much a part of it, for bad and for worse. I wouldn't say for better because I'm not sure there's so much good about it. It's good to be involved with the world, but not the way we've gone. We've gone way overboard on this one. And that's part of the reason why we have such difficulties in marriage. That's part of the reason why the most listened to class on my website is the Binyan HaBayit. People are all trying to figure out how to make their marriages work because marriages are in a serious problem. I mean, people enter marriage with Western concepts, and just like they fall into love, they're very quick to fall out of love, because if love is just something you fall into, then you have no control. It's just a question of when you fall in, and then you could just fall out. If that's what love is, then there's no control and there's no hope if you just fell out of love. So how could this marriage work? In Judaism, we don't approach life that way. But if we are living our lives based on a Western civilization, so then our concepts are going to be that. And we're having great difficulty. But we cannot avoid the fact that this is how we're living our lives. The Dati Lumi crowd has televisions, and if they don't have televisions, they have internet. So you could say, I don't watch TV. Sure, I go to YouTube and I see all the movies without having a TV. I'm very kosher. I don't have a TV. But come on, guys. I was shocked because on Gmail, you could have a comment under your name. So a guy who used to be in Machon Meir has under his name a link. So I figure, you know, former Machon Meir guy has a link. Maybe it's the Shir. Maybe it's who knows what. I click on the link and boy, a whole movie comes up. I was fascinated that this is what he has to put under his name. This is who he is, this link to a movie. I don't know, it's pretty sad. But I discovered that yes, you can see movies on the internet too. So I don't see like what the big difference is. I wouldn't recommend anyone has a TV, but you have to think 1,000 times before you have internet too. I have internet, but my kids are still little, and even so, it's not something. They're little. My son doesn't know how to turn on a computer yet, but it's still something to think about. What about me? What? I'm not challenged by the temptations on the internet. I'm a human being too. What we just learned today. Don't trust yourself. That includes me. So it's a problem. But at the end of the day, this is the way we're living our lives. And that means that when we go on a date, there are so many more things to discuss. Nothing is a given. A guy could go on a date and date a girl, and she thinks I'm marrying a guy who's going to be with me at night. And then she discovers he's sitting in Machon Meir at 10:15 at night, talking to guys, questions and answers. He's not home. What's going on here? My wife isn't listening yet. She'll hear it when I am home. But you see, life is very, very colorful here. You can live in all kinds of lives and all of it is legitimate and all of it is considered dati lumi. So that's why I insist that guys go on many dates. I tell guys 40 dates, less than 40 dates. What point is there in getting married? You guys have to know that you're talking the same language. You could do 50, but the minimum is 40. I am very serious. I am very serious. And those guys who thought I was joking and they called me up and said, I'm dating a girl and I think it's serious. What do you think? And I said, how many dates? And they say, 10. And I say, it ain't serious. That's what I think. So they said, what do you mean? It looks good. I said, it looks good. Date another 20 dates. Let's talk then. And ask, if you don't believe me, those of you who don't want to do it, so I'll just ask our listeners to testify. If those of you who doubt it, I'll ask our listeners if it's okay if I give their email address, because there are people who tried it and they discovered after 10 dates it's not the same thing. Now, I don't recommend this to all people in the Dati Lumi crowd, but I definitely recommend it in Mechon Meir, because here we are far more colorful than the rest of the Dati Lumi crowd. We have a history. We've been places. We didn't start out here. Someone who was born Dati Lumi, grew up Dati Lumi, fine. If he's dating a girl that's also had a pretty standard Dati Lumi life, so then fine. If they decide after 10, 15 dates that they can get married, you know what, there are risk takers in this world. That's legitimate. It's a legitimate risk. But if a guy from Mechon Meir tells me after 10 or 15 dates he's ready to get engaged, I think that's an illegitimate risk. That's like, what do you know about one another? There's too much to discuss. There's too much of a history. Even if she doesn't have a history, we all have a history. So there's what to discuss. And if you guys think I'm telling you to do something I didn't do it myself, you can check with my wife. I don't know if we dated 45 or 55 or 65 dates, but I passed the 40 mark. I didn't get married in less than 40 dates. So I'm telling you something that I did myself. So to summarize, what we said is that the world was different. There was less to discover. Things were more of a given. The expectations of marriage were different. And as such, people could get married with far less acquaintance, because all they had to see was that they're compatible. Everything else was understood. In the Hasidic world, to an extent, it's still that way. In the Dati Lumi world, it's not. And now we have to discuss the Mishnah, the end of Tanit, about engaging a girl from a dance. So the commentaries over there explain that if you had money, you weren't sending your girl to the dance festival. If you were a Torah scholar and people were interested in marrying your daughter, you weren't sending her out to the dance festival. If your daughter had good looks and she was 18 years old, you weren't sending her to the dance festival. But let's say your daughter was already 27 and she wasn't married, and you didn't have people knocking at your door begging you to marry your daughter. Quite the contrary, 2 years have passed and no one's asking to date. So you know that the girl's just going to get older and older and older. Time is just going to pass. And what are the odds that she's going to find her shidduch? So then you told your girl, hey, I'm very sorry, but you're already at an age where we shouldn't just wait, because the way things look, you aren't finding your match. And if you were a guy who had a shidduch every week, so you didn't have to go out to the dance festival to choose a girl. But if you were a guy who knew that it's been 2 years since you went out on a date, and no one's knocking down your door and trying to set you up, and if they do, they're calling you up with some kind of shidduch that off the bat you know isn't for you. So then you figure, wait a second, I'm not getting anywhere. How am I ever going to get married? So the dance that they had on Tu B'Av in the vineyards in Jerusalem was their way of resolving the shidduch crisis of their day. Those people who couldn't find the shidduch, those people who had reached their wits' end and they weren't getting set up with anyone, and they didn't have J-date, they didn't have all these other ways of meeting singles. So the way they did it was they had a dance, and the girls went to dance, and the guys went and looked at the dance, and then they'd ask the girl out, and then they'd talk to the girl and see if the girl was for them, and then they had many shidduchim coming out of the dance on Tu B'Av that was in the vineyards in Jerusalem. But it was a result of a shidduch crisis.
When they say dance, I mean, could it be that they just pulled
probably. Right, exactly. That's what it says. Yeah. They were mecholot. Mecholot means to walk around in a circle.
Yeah,
okay. Doesn't mean they were doing the kazatska. Right. Okay.